All right, well, welcome back. Clearly, word didn't get out about last week because we got more people here this week. Just to dig on my teaching, Tommy, that's all. So I want to look at really what I wanted to look at this week was primarily the last question. How does the idea of sacrifice apply to us in the New Covenant? But in order to support that, I think we probably want to roll up to the top and look at the examples of sacrifice and things like that. So I am not going to dig in to any of these unless, if you have any points you want to make or anything, feel free to raise your hand at any point and bring up things that you noticed or ideas that you may have that you want to share, concepts of what sacrifice means to us, what Jesus' sacrifice means, and what it means for us to sacrifice. The stuff that I passed out this week, it's two-sided. One side is stuff that I put together with ChatGPT. I actually used some AI, large language model stuff, and it's just some background on all the various different words that are used in the Old Testament and New Testament for sacrifice or similar concepts. And, of course, there's a ton in the Old Testament, right, with all the instructions about sacrifices and things like that. That's just a breakdown of the words, and I just throw that out there for you to have for sort of a reference and sort of ideas, right? So, you know, when we talk about sacrifice, you know, there's the more general word sacrifice, specific burnt offerings, grain offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings, peace offerings, right? Different focuses maybe for some of these. And in the first few chapters of Leviticus there, of course, a number of those things are laid out as different concepts without really for us in our culture a lot of context in exactly what are some of those distinctions and everything. I didn't dig deeply into that because we've got 2 weeks and not, you know, 2 months. And so those are there if you have ideas or thoughts that you want to dig into or present on that. So we've got that. And then the other side is just a bunch of scriptures that I think apply pretty well to some of the discussions of, okay, how does this apply to us, right? So what does this look like for us in the New Testament, what's going on, and how do we move forward from that? I guess I'll just go through and kind of list off, right, some of the things that I have here, right? We talked about, or we didn't talk about, but we could talk about theoretically, right? Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, where Cain's offering was not acceptable and Abel's was, and you know, clearly there's a variety of things relating to possible instructions, specific instructions God gave certainly to the state of the heart in both of those individuals and things like that. Noah in Genesis chapter 8, so after the flood, he begins, you know, first thing off is to offer a sacrifice. David in 2 Samuel 24 talks about, I'm not going to offer that which cost me nothing. Abraham in Genesis 14 tithes what he gets from the battle of the nine armies gives a tenth of that to Melchizedek, to God via his priest Melchizedek. Of course, Genesis 22 definitely teaches us some things about sacrifice and the willingness and the heart and the faith that needs to be behind our sacrifices Abraham offering up Isaac. There's a lot of parallels between the Passover in Exodus 12, Numbers 9, Deuteronomy 16, and Jesus. And then, of course, like I mentioned earlier, in Leviticus, like chapters 1 through 7, there's a whole bunch of different sacrifices with different focuses and types that are brought up. So all of those are examples that we have of sacrifice, and there are others. Solomon, when he's dedicating the temple, you know, there's lots of instances, lots of times where this happens, sacrifice happens. So Well, I'll start off with, does anybody have anyone that's anything in there that's a favorite or a specific lesson that you definitely want to pull out from any of those examples we talked about or any that we didn't? Okay. Let's go ahead and start then in Hosea 6:6. I didn't bring a Bible tonight. That's brought lots of printouts. And I forgot to grab the Bible. It's all right. I've got it on here. It's like we all do nowadays, right? Hosea 6:6, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And Jesus references this a couple of times in Matthew when he says, if you'd known what I was saying, what we were saying there, then you would have behaved differently. When we see that, when we read this, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," what does that tell us about the efficacy of sacrifice or the not efficacy of sacrifice or why mercy is better? What lesson can we draw from that concept, both there and when Jesus refers to it in Matthew? Okay. Yeah. So it's important to the whole point of the sacrifices that are offered, right, is to allow us to reestablish a relationship with God, ideally that we then will attempt to hold on to, right? That we will behave in accordance with those who have been redeemed, those who have been purchased. Tony? Not again, the sacrifices are there, right, to make up for the lack of our heart being with him, and we're not supposed to take it. Romans 6 would indicate, right, that we're not supposed to delve into that and just, oh well, let's make that happen as much as possible, right? The point is that we are to live again in accordance with how he wants us to lessen the need for the sacrifices, or I'm getting
not earn anything.
Right.
I think that's whether you're talking about some folks in the Old Testament or people today. You know, if I just do back then, I do my sacrifices, I do everything there. Here we do enough good works, we do enough good things, we'll be okay. But no, you've got to give, truly submit yourself to Him. Give Him your heart and everything. And then we'll do the things that He commands us to do out of that love for Him.
Right.
And that's what I'm getting at. You're right. We can't do enough things to justify anything. So there is that. It takes care of that gap. So I think we're going to have two different ones.
Okay. Yeah, but He wants the heart, because then if the heart is there, then we're going to be doing the things that He needs us to. Right, right. I mean, you know, and ideally, again, if the heart is where it's supposed to be, there's no need for further sacrifice, right? Once we have the reconciliation, then we'd stay there. And we know we're not really that good, but that's the general philosophy, the general idea. Yeah, how you treat your fellow man is the point. Beyond past, you know, yeah, yes, that relationship with God needs to be right. And one of the things that they definitely got caught up with is that there's a holiness, right, that comes with that relationship, right? There's a sanctification, a oneness, and they gathered sort of the wrong lesson. You know, in Matthew 9, it's why are you eating with these tax collectors and sinners, right? Well. And so what they gathered was that I'm special, I'm holy, you know, God has made me holy, He's picked me, chosen me, made, set me apart, made me special, and that means that I can't have anything to do with these out here because they're not special. Instead of, right, what is the point, what is the focus, is why did God do what He did to make us special, right? And that's not just for me, that's for all of us. And so if I understand how important it was to Him to sacrifice Himself for that sinner, then I am going to love that sinner too, because that's what drove God to do that. So yeah, that focus on, it's not just on the vertical, right? God doesn't just look at me, He looks at man. All men, and I need to, as much as is within my purview and power and ability, do the same thing, right? It needs to be not just outward, but sharing, not just inward, but sharing what He's given. First Samuel 5, the same, I think that's 15, isn't it? But, you know, hath the Lord is great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Again, the same idea there, right? He's looking for us to obey, to invest ourselves in what He's told us and what He's given us. Now, one of the things He's given us is the sacrifice, but also in Jesus, He gave us not just a sacrifice, but an example for us to follow, right? So not just a set of rules of do these things, but an example of, hey, this is what it looks like when you're doing what I need you to do, right? So he gave us that in Jesus. So he gave us all the tools we need to obey rather than just sacrifice. We don't have the temple. We don't have sacrifices in that sense. How does sacrifice apply to us? What do we do? What is involved in sacrifice for us? I'm sorry? Putting away the old. Expand a little bit. I think I know what you're getting at, but... Okay. Yeah, so to give that up, right, on the altar, to give up what might have been important to us, what might have been a focus before, to change our focus to what it's supposed to be, right? So there's a sacrifice. There is a giving up of something in order to do what he says. Tony? Right, which is us, right? So yes, and not just our hearts, our bodies as well, right? Our bodies as a living sacrifice. And in what way? So why don't we sacrifice lambs on an altar anymore? Because Christ was sacrificed, right? He did that job of the blood covering the sin, right? Taking away the sin, granting us salvation as our inheritance. But what do we do when we're baptized? What is that a model of? Right, we're buried with him, and in fact it says, right? And that we might also rise in new life. But again, Romans 6, that's a new life of living for him as opposed to living for ourselves. So, yes, that our bodies are a living sacrifice. We're now living for him instead of living for ourselves. Just like Christ was a sacrifice, we need to be a sacrifice. That's the other thing is, you know, he died and we're supposed to follow in his steps, right? He's the 1 Corinthians 15 talks about him, the first fruits from the dead, right? That we're all going to follow him there. But that involves following him. And that was not an easy road. That was not, you know, that was a sacrificing himself road that he took. And that's the road we're supposed to be following, is one that is sacrificing ourselves in order that we'll be like him. Okay, so our bodies are a living sacrifice. That's one way in which that applies to us. And Christ is the one who makes the atonement, right? The sacrifice of him as our Passover, as our Lamb. But we need to then give our lives as a sacrifice in that same model. Okay. What else do you see of how sacrifice applies to us in the New Testament, in the new covenant, the new law?
Hebrews 13.
Okay. Go ahead and read that.
Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Okay. So, in this case, offering up a sacrifice of praise to God, and then he talks about at least two ways of doing that, right? One is the fruit of our lips, directly saying God is great, acknowledging how incredible and amazing he is an offering, if you will. And then also to not neglect to do good and share what you have, right? So to take the things that we might consider ours, to recognize that they're not ours, that they're his, because he's purchased us at great price, and therefore use them in his efforts as he would. And what did we see him doing? Well, there were tax collectors and sinners there, and he was eating with them. He was ministering to them. He was trying to help them in the ways that he could. So those are the kinds of things we need to be doing. Some of this, I think, also can go back to all the things we talked about last week in what's the point of a sacrifice, right? What are we doing in sacrificing? We talked about showing devotion, asking for favor, covering sin, also accomplishing, I think, one of the things God that we talked about that God does is it uses it to give us perspective, right? To put us in a shared perspective with him. Jesus thought it was important enough to come down from heaven and live as a human being and deal with all the unpleasant stuff that entails in order to be our sacrifice, in order to take care of us. And so when we put ourselves in those shoes of giving of ourselves for others, we are in some way approaching, or at least at some level, what God has done, right? So becoming more like him, learning to be what we can be like him. But in those ways of using sacrifice or what the points of sacrifice, what else, how does Romans 12 and Hebrews 13 that we just looked at, how do those fit into showing devotion, asking for favor, covering sin? You know, are they doing those things? Are we covering our sin when we go out and do good? You know, things like that. How does that fill all those purposes for us? So we're walking in a way that's worthy of the calling that we've been called to, in a sense. So there's a sense in which that is, it's at least not fighting against the salvation that Jesus has given, the forgiveness that he offers. What else have I got? We can sort of roll through here. In Philippians 4:18, Paul says, I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Again, I think it fits under the umbrella of what we were talking about before, but it's sort of a more specific example of something we can do that is looked at as a sacrifice and an acceptable sacrifice, right? In this case, taking care of Paul while he was out working for Christ. Ephesians 5:2 just says, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So in that case, again, walk in love. That's the ultimate thing. We've talked about a few things, ways in which by participating in sacrifice, we are putting our mindset more like God's. We are getting more in that frame of how we're supposed to be imitators of Him. And consequently, that's an offering and a sacrifice, right? God sees that and God is pleased with that. When we are doing His work for Him on His behalf. Let's go to Genesis 22, 1-14. We don't actually go there. You don't necessarily need to. That's the story where Abraham offers Isaac. God says, "Go offer your son as a burnt offering." And he travels 3 days with some servants. At the end, he goes on a little bit ahead with just Isaac. While they're on their way at that last bit, Isaac says, "Where's the lamb for the offering?" And Abraham says, "God will provide it." They get up on the mountain. He ties up Isaac, raises the knife, and the angel stops him, right, from actually killing his son. But Hebrews 11 tells us, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." So what is when we look at Hebrews 11, of course, what is the defining characteristics that we're talking about in Hebrews 11? Faith. Okay? And what level of faith did Abraham have? A lot. Pretty extreme. Was Abraham's faith simply one of, "Well, God said to do this, I'm going to do this"?
He trusted
the power of God, right? Because he didn't just have a command, right, to do something that seemed like it didn't make much sense, right? What else did he also have before the command? Yeah, to his mind, from everything God had told him, this didn't make any sense. But what did he know? He knew that God had made him a promise. And he trusted God. He trusted that God is going to keep his promises. So what's the lesson for us from that whole thing? Do the same. Trust God even when we don't see the end, right? When He's told us, "This is the end, and this is what I want you to do towards that end," does it matter if my wisdom says, "Wait, that's not going to get me there"? Do I listen to my wisdom or do I listen to God? And you know, that's the ultimate, right? That's the ultimate way of looking at it. We must have faith. We must trust God. And doing that for Abraham, it was literally, right, preparing to sacrifice. But in most other instances, it might not be a literal burnt offering sacrifice, but there is a sacrifice. And then what happened when Abraham showed that he was willing, when he gave his heart to God? Then what was provided? Well, it was counted him for righteousness when he believed. Yes, that's not where I was going, but that is a perfect... No. A sacrifice, right. Right, a way for that to be fulfilled, if you will. A substitute, a stand-in, a way for him to continue what he was going to do, but doing it in a way that worked better in this case, because Abraham was able to show his faith and his devotion to God. Let's see, what else we got? All right. That's the bulk of what I had specifically thought through. I've got some other stuff here, so I can keep throwing out ideas, but I'm going to push it back on you guys for a few. What do you think are the heavy lifts or the important things to, hey, how does this look in my life, or what lesson can I draw from sacrifice, the way it works, how God does it?
I like the statements and teachings that are very succinct and practical. And so in Philippians chapter 2, all of and verse 3 and 4, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And so just meditate on that for a while. There's a lot of profound sacrifice opportunity for us in a day to actually.
Yeah. There are lots of things where there's a choice between what might serve us in the short run and what God has asked us to do, or what might benefit others, especially in a spiritual sense. Wait. And that's a perspective that's heavily based on what? An understanding, to understand that we're going to be blessed more, that we are. What does that take on our part? Faith, I think. It goes back to trust, that when he says, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you, you're going to receive far more in return than anything you can give up. And he puts it in a spiritual context even. You know, in this life, sure, like, you know, you give up family, look at the family, right? And be that family for each other. And then in the world to come, of course, you know, the passage that Wade just alluded to, or one of the things that Wade just alluded to, he said, if anyone would come after me, this is Luke 9:23, if any would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his own self or his own soul? Right? And that eternal, the weight of that, really, when we sit back, if we really trust God that he's going to take care of that properly, that weighs so much more, right? That's always going to be a bigger deal than whatever benefit we might feel like we're getting here. And so regardless of how devastating it might seem to us to do X, Y, or Z, if it's what God has told us to do, then if we have faith, we're going to step out and do it. Go ahead.
One thing that's rolling around in my mind, going back to one of the things you said, like when you get out the list of, hey, here's all these different words, different ways, especially in the Old Testament sacrifice or offering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just in the discussion, and I agree with all the points that were made, but one of the things that's coming at us is that depends on, even for us today, there are different ways that we can work in sacrifice. Not just Christ's sacrifice, that's the ultimate, that's the main thing. But there are different things that we're looking at, and what Wade said is exactly right. You know, if we're looking ahead and we're seeing the big picture, it's not really a sacrifice to us, but it is a sacrifice. It all depends on the angle, the context, and everything else. So that word has multiple meanings even for us today, not just in the system, but how
right.
We're going to. The blessing that we receive from it, how we're going to apply it in our lives as far as a living sacrifice to Him, whatever it may be.
There's definitely a lot of ways of looking at it. And again, my starting contention, right, was that all those ways go back to Jesus. And I think the things Wade was talking about, that it's not a sacrifice. What did it say? He bore the cross despising the shame. He knew that shame did not weigh anywhere near as heavily as the salvation because of the love he had for us. So, again, it all goes back to him. When we're asked to give up whatever, right, our model for that sacrifice can be Jesus. Because he gave up slightly more than you, right? Regardless of what it is you're being asked to give up, he gave up more than that. He stepped down from the throne of glory to come to earth and, again, do all the messy, normal things, but then also to suffer in a way that perhaps it is not the most horrible suffering that has ever been endured by anybody, but it's awfully close, way up there. It's within the category, at least, of anything anybody's had to go through. And he walked into that knowing that that's exactly what was going to happen. And he made those decisions for us anyway, all the way through. So when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, he presented his body as a dead sacrifice, right? Even more so. Now, also for 33 years before that, as a living sacrifice, every day, keeping its purity, its cleanliness, and that's what he's, you know, then asks us to do. Any sacrifice we make goes back to the model of Jesus and the sacrifices that he made for us. Even when we talk about sacrifice of praise and the fruit of our lips, talk about how that ties back to Jesus, to the example that he set. Yes. And, you know, sometimes the offering is not necessarily particularly painful, right? Sometimes it can be even pleasant for us to participate in helping somebody or doing something for somebody or things like that. So, again, it's not all about suffering, right? But it is about giving of ourselves. And again, as Wade pointed out, that pays dividends, all sorts of dividends, from the moment into eternity. So I think those things will all come together for us. Any other thoughts as we're winding down here? When we talk about sacrifice, I think the important things to understand are some of the things that we looked at last week, and when you look at all the blood in the Old Testament and all the, you know, all everything involved in those sacrifices, the fact that death is the consequence of sin, right? And so then animal sacrifices and things like that, the idea of that blood, right, becomes really important. But it's not really the blood that's important. It is the love, and it is the willingness to give what the other person needs, to take care of another person. And Jesus did that, again, to the point of stepping off the throne of heaven and becoming a man and suffering on our behalf so that God could die and leave us salvation as our inheritance. And again, we need to walk worthy of that calling. We need to walk in a way that honors what Jesus did by ideally being as much like that as we can. I think I can give you back the minute if nobody's got anything. All right, thank you.